Senate Agriculture Veterans Budget Policy Committee will come to order. Members, we have one bill on schedule today, and it's Senate File 408, Senator Erickson Ropes, Minnesota GI Bill. She, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm very pleased to be here today. Actually, it's a historic day in Minnesota. It's the first time, I believe, that the Minnesota GI Bill is being introduced before the Senate Veterans Committee. And I'm very proud and pleased to be chief authoring this integrated bill. And I'd like to give you just a little bit of background before we get into discussing the bill, if that's okay, sir. Thank you. I just want to read a paragraph out of the website for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and this is on the federal GI Bill. It's titled Born of Controversy, the GI Bill of Rights. It has been heralded as one of the most significant pieces of legislation ever produced by the federal government, one that impacted the United States socially, economically, and politically. But it almost never came to pass. Then the story goes on to tell the story of the GI Bill, the Montgomery Bill, and how it was a controversial bill in its day, although we all herald it as an excellent piece of legislation. There was it was controversial in its day because people thought that the veterans coming home after serving their country might just not pick up those jobs right away and get back to work, and they might kind of slack off and go to college. So I think that brings us to today's bill, because as always, there's discussion, there's points on one side or another, and today's bill has had a little controversial discussion, but I think we can all feel really good today that the bill being placed before you is a bill that demonstrates shared agreement across many groups. Just to back up a little bit, I would like to let you know the people who do support this bill. Governor Pawlenty had written a GI Bill. I'm sure you all read about that in the paper. And through Senator Vickerman, the governor's proposal was being chief authored by Senator Ann Lynch of Rochester. And then you probably also read in the press that the Attorney General, Lori Swanson, had her version of a Minnesota GI Bill that I was asked to carry. So what we did, in an effort of trying to work together on this issue, Senator Ann Lynch and I sat down with the help of Senator Vickerman's committee aide, Tim Michaels. We listed out the provisions of the governor's proposal and the attorney general's proposal. We side-by-side comparisoned them and chose what we believe to be the best provisions from the governor's proposal, the best provisions from the attorney general's proposal, and we integrated them into one bill, which you have before you today. At this point, Mr. Chair, I have a delete all amendment that I would like, and I would like to move the amendment, but I also have one small item to incorporate on line 4.14. This was actually just a typo omission, and I would take responsibility for that. Working with Mr. Botern, the Senate counsel, I skipped over asking him to include on line 414, when it starts, was a Minnesota resident, would you please delete at and insert within 6 months of. And this provision just designates a time that we would like to see veterans be residents of Minnesota.
Ms. Chair, Senator Ropes, could you state the reference to that again on the bill?
Yes. 4.14. So with that one small item incorporated, I would move the delete all amendment be put on the table before this committee.
Senator Rope, let's be sure we're all on the right page. Would it be page 4? Are you talking on off of your delete all?
On the delete all bill.
Members, have you...
Within 6 months.
Are you tracking that? Are you going to just incorporate that in your... That's fine. Okay. Just so everybody knows where it is. All right. Oh, Senator Ropes, Erickson Ropes, you want to move your delete all as amended, and so the bill's in before us in the shape that you want it in. Is that right?
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay. Does everybody understand that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So adopted. Now your bill is in order, and we'll be working off the A-2.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to provide an overview to this bill. This bill provides $1,000 of educational assistance per semester to eligible veterans who are residents of Minnesota in order to attend post-secondary institutions in this state. This benefit is also extended to resident spouses and children of deceased or permanently and totally disabled eligible veterans. There's a $10,000 lifetime limit on assistance to individual participants. Eligible recipients include, number one, the service members must have 181 consecutive days or more of active duty, who have served at any time on or before August 2nd, 1990. And I will mention to the committee and the chair that there are many complicated definitions in this bill, but most of them are synchronized to definitions already in statute. And we try to make this as consistent as possible with higher education and veterans statutes and definitions. So this is where we do get many of these qualifications. Number two, service members who have received a service-related discharge while on active duty and have served any time on or after August 2nd, 1990. Number three, non-veteran service members, generally those who have not served at least 181 days of active duty and with 16 years of cumulative service, where any part of the service was on or before August 2nd, 1990. Number four, service members who served at least 90 days in a foreign country during the time of hostilities in that country who served at any time on or before August 2nd, 1990. Number five, the surviving spouse or child of anyone who served in the military at any time on or before August 2nd, 1990, who died as a direct result of military service. Number six, the surviving spouse of a child or anyone who served in the military at or before August 2nd, 1990, who received a total and permanent service-connected disability. Additional language requires an honorary discharge from all military service for eligibility and also requires Minnesota residency at the time of the initial enlistment or re-enlistment. Service members who would meet the eligibility requirement but have not been discharged because they're still actively serving in the military are also eligible. And I will stop here rather than going on section by section and put it before the committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Maybe we should hear from Mr. Dyrud on that end. Commissioner of Veterans Affairs, if you would help us answer any of the questions the members might have, and I don't know if members have any questions, but...
Well, Mr. Chair, I have an amendment to the amendment as well. I don't know if you want to consider that before the discussion, or do you want to consider it at a later time?
Senator Coobley, that's up to you.
Okay. Well, I'd offer it, Mr. Chair, just in, you know, if the committee wants to adopt it, well, then we could talk about it as a whole. Otherwise, you know, if it's not adopted, well, then we can proceed either way. So I'd offer the A4 amendment then, Mr. Chair, to Senate File 408.
Mr. Chair, if I could put this into context.
Robes.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Coobley. I will remind the committee that the delete all amendment in front of you is the product of bill discussions and policy discussions with Margaret Vessel from the governor's office, Ben Wogsland from the attorney general's office, Christine Keel from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Susan Heger, who is the director of the Minnesota Office of Higher Education, Tim Michaels from Senator Vickerman's office, and Tim Donahue, who's my LA. And the major players, or stakeholders, if you will, have all supported the amended integrated bill in front of you. Senator Coobley's amendment comes from the Attorney General's office, who wants to broaden the scope of eligibility. I did not include it as an author's amendment in the bill because at the time when we went to press, all the players that I just listed were in agreement with the bill. So I believed it would be in the best interest of this committee in their discussion to put the bill before you as agreed by all the parties, and then we could additionally talk about the amendment separately.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Erickson, it's your desire to discuss the bill before we work on the amendment. Am I reading this right?
I think that would make sense, Mr. Chair.
Well, Mr. Chair, if Senator Erickson Ropes would just state her preference on whether she would like to accept the amendment to the amendment or not, we'll proceed on that basis. I'll withdraw the amendment if she does not support it.
Senator?
Mr. Chair, Senator Coobley, I do support the amendment personally. I'm just wondering about timing, if we should do the bill first and then the amendment. It's a procedural question.
Senator Erickson Rope, it's your bill.
Okay.
And you're the vice chair, so if you, I'm listening to you. What do you want to do? Do you want to present your bill first before the amendment?
Thank you, sir. Yes, I think we could do that and then take up Senator Coobley's bill or amendment.
Okay.
I apologize for that confusion.
So you're going to withdraw for now? Or
proceed.
Chair Vickerman, my name is Clark Dyrud, Commissioner of Veterans Affairs, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. By way of background, a GI Bill for the state has been discussed in over the past many, many months, and it really came to a peak last spring when Wisconsin passed a GI Bill that got a lot of press, and there was free tuition for Wisconsin residents. And upon further review, we learned a couple of things. First of all, it was an unfunded mandate, in effect. No money was put in the budget. It was, in effect, a waiver that the schools had to eat in Wisconsin. So it does not go into effect until this coming September 2007. So meanwhile, there is a lot of scrambling going on. The first figures that we're able to figure is that they're going back asking for $24 million annually to fund this. That would be the impact on the schools in Wisconsin if they did, in fact, have to provide waiver. So that was kind of a starting point. We started looking. The veterans groups were very interested in some type of GI Bill. So we have had discussions for quite some time with higher ed, with MenSCU, with service organization people, and that's kind of the background for the current bill. Very quickly, the only hard numbers that anyone knows in this field is that currently 5,000 people a month are drawing the federal GI Bill in Minnesota, and that's been over the last 5 or 6 months, something on that order. That we know. Other than that, we are dealing in guesstimating to assert intelligently the usage of this. The figure that we have arrived at with upon discussion and best guess is somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000 people would probably be using a Minnesota GI Bill, and that is forms the basis of discussion for this bill. So it is arrived at by capping the semester amount at $1,000 with a lifetime of $10,000. But here is, I think, the most important piece of this legislation. It is last dollar in, which means that a veteran comes forward to the finance office at the school that he or she is going to, says, I want to apply for the Minnesota GI Bill, and they are taken down a path of, have you applied for various other grants? It is believed that a lot of veterans do not apply for things like Pell Grants or state grants because, number one, they're not sure that they qualify for them, if they even know they exist. So, number one, they would, when applying for the GI Bill, they would be asked if they have applied for all available grants. Now, the Pell Grant, of course, is a federal grant. There is a state grant in Minnesota, and here we differ from Wisconsin also. There's a much higher grant available through state of Minnesota than in Wisconsin. So what we are asking first is that the veterans would be applying for any benefit that they have coming to them. This would be then a last dollar in. It is designed so it could be used at any higher education place, including, you know, obviously the University of Minnesota, the MenSCU system, but also private colleges, also the trade schools. For example, I think a truck driving course is 8 months or whatever it is. But I mean, it could be used across the spectrum for any institute of higher learning in the state. So it is also open to the spouses of severely total and permanent disabled veterans, as well as veterans who are deceased, of course. But that would, as I said, be open to the spouse and children. The dollar amounts, and I should actually have higher ed testify to some of this. There are, you know, such things as the cost of attendance, which is defined by statute, and we, upon discussion, came with a factor of 1.2 times the cost of attendance. There is rationale behind that, mainly the cost of attendance is defined as tuition plus a factor of, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000 or $6,000 for tuition. I'm sorry, for room and board. That is the statutory cost of attendance. Historically, the actual cost of attendance is usually more because room and board is usually more. And so what that is the explanation for the factor of 1.2. In other words, the statutory cost of attendance plus 20% brings it very much into what the institutes of higher education are actually telling students that the cost of attendance is, and a realistic cost of attendance. And so these are some of the factors that went into the crafting of this bill. I am either open to questions or if Ahmed from Higher Ed would like to speak to any of these issues, or again, just be open for questions.
Let's go to Tim Med, if you can give us a little insight. Minnesota Office of Higher Education, I believe that's who you're representing, is that right?
Yes, sir, I represent the Higher of Education, Office of Higher Education.
I need your name for the record, and welcome to the committee.
My name is Tim Med. I work for the Office of Higher Education.
How is all this going to work in your education department, okay?
Well, we plan on doing the verification and application at the institutional level and dispersing the $1,000 or whatever the veteran is eligible for at the institutional level rather than having the veteran apply through us, because the institutions have all the documentation readily accessible to them that they need to determine the veteran's eligibility. As Chuck said, we use 120% budget because the state grant, while very generous, does not recognize what the institutions say is their own budget. For example, the state grant budget this fall for Mankato State was $11,590. On their website, they said, no, it's going to cost you $14,000 to come here. So using the 120 gives a little more realistic budget for the veterans and also makes more of them eligible. If we didn't use 120% budget, many of the National Guardsmen returning from Iraq this spring or this summer would not be eligible for a Minnesota GI Bill if they were attending, say, Century College.
Questions? Nurse Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Med, you talked about some of our National Guard that are returning from Iraq now. And a constituent of mine, a Mr. Winter, brought me an issue that's occurring with regard to the federal GI Bill. And I was wondering if you had some, if you knew or had some information about how this was being resolved. Evidently, in the federal GI Bill, you have to have 2 years of continuous service in order to qualify. We have a number of Minnesota National Guardsmen that served a year and a half or more in Bosnia or Afghanistan, and then they returned home, so they didn't get 2 years of continuous duty there. They now have been called up and are serving in Iraq, and they were supposed to be there for a year and a half or so. They've been extended now, so they're going to be there about a year and 11 months. But they're not going to receive they won't have received 2 years of continuous duty. So even though in the last 6 years they will have served almost 3.5 years of combat time, they won't qualify for the federal GI Bill. And I know this is the Minnesota GI Bill, but we are trying to supplement what the federal government is doing. And I was wondering if you had any information that you could provide to the committee as we discuss this bill dealing with the Minnesota National Guardsmen and the federal GI Bill, and if there are any proposals to try to fill some of those holes.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Skoy, is it?
Skoy.
Skoy, thank you. The couple things happened to a National Guards member, to the best of my knowledge anyway, who is activated to go to, in the latest activation, to go to Iraq. When that member comes back, he will not be receiving benefits under the Montgomery GI Bill. He will receive what's called REAP, which is an increased amount. They will traditionally go from, I believe, $2,781 for a 9-month academic year to a payment of $5,805, which is about 60%, I believe, of the Montgomery GI Bill. Also, the president this fall signed a policy that people who, in reserve and guard units who are activated, even though they're 21 when they come back or 22, they are no longer considered dependent upon their parents and can indeed file for the Pell Grant and state grant as an independent student, which usually gives them a larger Pell and State grant.
Mr. Guy.
Mr. Chair and Mr. I'm sorry, I didn't catch
Med.
So what I'm hearing is these young men and women that were serving like 3.5 years of the last 6 years would get 60% of what the Montgomery GI Bill is. Is that what I heard you say?
I believe that's – I believe the ones going – coming back from one activation will get 60%. I'm not sure how multiple activations work on that. I can get back to you, sir, on that.
Mr. Chair, I'd appreciate that. And then, you know, as we consider filling in the needs that the federal government is not meeting their obligations in this area, perhaps we're going to have to take some of this into account, because there's a large number of Minnesotans that are serving and going to fall under this criteria, and I would hope we would consider that as we discuss this bill and move it forward.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Robes, you want to answer Senator Scoy?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, in the Minnesota GI Bill, there is coverage for those service people that you're talking about. If they've served at least 90 days in a foreign country where there are hostilities, they would be covered by the Minnesota Bill.
Mm-hmm. And, Mr. Chairman, my compliments to the Senate author for including these men and women.
Senator Murphy.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Robes, for making that acknowledgment for the young men and women of the state of Minnesota and our National Guard unit. This is just another prime example, and Commissioner, and of the federal government's willingness to get by this war on the cheap. This is absolutely wrong. These members should be covered by the Montgomery GI Bill, hands down, no exceptions. And it doesn't matter if they serve in Afghanistan or Iraq or sitting in a ship in the Persian Gulf. They should be covered, period. You know, I am absolutely, as a father of two men in the National Guard, this makes me angry, very angry. So, Commissioner, whatever you can do to impress upon the federal government to accept their responsibility and take care of these young men and women like they're not doing, I would hope you do it. Members of this committee, I cannot tell you of the things that I hear from my friends that are over in Iraq and the lack of some of the material that they need to get by from day to day. Now, I know our National Guard folks in the upper echelon are doing everything they can to make sure that these young men and women have what they need to fight this war. But by God, when they come home and they're scarred and they're injured, and every one of them is going to be scarred and injured in one way or another, we ought to be standing there. And Senator Robes, I appreciate you putting that clause in your bill to cover these people, but it's the federal government's responsibility. The state of Minnesota didn't get us there. The federal government did.
Senator Murphy, I couldn't agree with you more, but...
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry I lost my temper, tell you what, it just grinds my backside right down to the bone.
You've got every right to express your opinion, but I looked at the new presidential plan, and I couldn't find much in that great big thing other than we're going to kind of help take care of our troops, and I'm not going to get into that argument. But I've said all along, maybe this state of Minnesota is going to have to at least take care of our own.
I agree, Mr. Chairman.
We can't wait for a year or two till things sort out.
Mr. Chairman, as a lot of the people in the back rows can tell you, especially some of the Vietnam vets, the federal government wasn't there for us. And if it hadn't have been for the pickup on a lot of these programs by the state of Minnesota or the state of Illinois or Missouri or wherever it was you were from, a lot of veterans would have fallen through the cracks. A lot of Vietnam veterans fell through the cracks, Mr. Chairman. And my friend Sharon Robes, she served in the Naval Service, and she has seen those people who have fallen through the cracks. I spent a couple days out in the life of a homeless person, and guess what? He was a Vietnam vet, living under bridges over here in Minneapolis, eating out of garbage cans. He actually picked up a can that had beans in the bottom of it and stuck his fingers down in there and ate it. And offered some to me. It's not right, Mr. Chairman. We're going to have a whole generation of these young men and women, and it's disheartening. You know, people can agree or disagree with the war, but what happens to these men and women when they come back, that's our responsibility.
Well, Senator Murphy, chair of this committee, I've said all along we shouldn't have a homeless vet. But you've been in service, I never was. But there are some veterans who choose not to take help, and that's the part that we have to try to figure out if we can get them to do that. I'm just thinking about a homeless vet. How would you like to be outside the other night, 20 below? I mean, that shouldn't happen. And we're going to have to do something about that. But I pushed this. I went to Washington, talked about ag, and we brought it before Welch and Tim Walsh and those. Said it's a federal obligation, who really should be helping our people coming back from Iraq. But I'm going back to my other statement. How long can we sit and wait for that to happen?
Now,
I don't think we can. So I think Minnesota's going to have to step forward and see if we can do what we should be doing for our returning troops. Senator Robes, I get mixed emotion here about your amendment. Did we adopt this or didn't we?
No, we are waiting with the amendment until after we finish the bill.
You want to take the amendment before you move your bill forward. Is that your pleasure?
When we're finished discussing the bill, then I think we can move to the amendment. And unless there's other questions on the bill, I do think Minnesota has an obligation to look out for our own. And there are cracks. We've heard about them between the federal GI Bill and where the needs of our Minnesota veterans are today. And I believe this Minnesota GI Bill, that is, again, the integrated package between the governor's proposal and the attorney general's proposal, does meet those needs. Senator Kubley offered an amendment earlier, and I asked him if he would carry that amendment to you, because I had not had a chance to go back and discuss this amendment idea with all of the people who had signed on to the bill. So I would put that separately now before this committee to discuss. And Senator Kubley, would you mind again reading that amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Erickson Ropes, I'd reoffer the amendment to the amendment. You've actually offered the first amendment that replaces the text of the original bill. So mine is an amendment to the amendment for Senate File 408, and I would offer that at this time, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe before we act on Senator Kubley's motion, just a couple of questions for clarification. Is there an estimate, Senator Erickson Ropes, of cost for this bill? And I know there's some doubt as to what the exact number of people who might be eligible, but what kind of dollars are we thinking about appropriating to cover the cost of this of the bill?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Hahn. Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, I'm going to refer you now to Ben Wogsland from the Attorney General's office, and he is interested in expanding eligibility, and he'll speak to that right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Benjamin Wogsland, and I am the Assistant Director of Communications and Research for the Attorney General's office. When the Attorney General came out with the proposal, and I will state that the amendment that Senator Kubley is offering was the language in the original bill. That language is not expanding the eligibility so much as it is expanding the benefits to the veteran. It gets rid of the $1,000 per semester cap and pays the tuition benefits as they would be at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus to veterans once they've exhausted their federal or state benefits. When we first looked at that proposal and looked at the cost estimate, we looked at the programs in Wisconsin, which I understand from Commissioner Dyrud, they had problems with funding over there. We also looked at the program in the state of Illinois. Illinois, for the last five fiscal years, has had $150 million of tuition fees that they've looked at under their program. And their program, again, very similar to what would be covered under the amendment offered by Senator Kubley, full tuition benefits after you finish with your state and federal. Their cost is on average $30 million per year. However, they have over 1 million veterans in the state of Illinois, whereas we in Minnesota have somewhere around 460,000, I believe. So being that we have less than half of the number of veterans that they have, we looked at a cost estimate of around $15 million per year on that. And that is where our estimate came from.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hand, do you want to still continue?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess what I'm trying to, I appreciate that is the cost of Senator Kubley's amendment. And maybe Senator Erickson Ropes, the cost of your bill as it was amended by your delete all, what is the estimated cost of the original bill as presented?
Fiscal note.
My understanding, Mr. Chair, Senator Hunt, my understanding is that it would be in the same ballpark range. It would be about $15 million per year.
And Mr. Chairman, and I guess I'm not sure how that makes sense to me. It seems as if what your bill is doing is saying that there's going to be a limit, that the total amount of assistance would be defined by the provisions on page 5. And as I look at Senator Kubley's amendment, it has different limits. And to have different limits and say that the cost is identical doesn't seem to me to make sense. So I need some clarification. I could understand if you say, if we put a $1,000 per semester cap, or $3,000 per year, or $10,000 total, that those are capped amounts, and you could say, we can make some guess or estimate of what number of people would participate, and just do the math, and you come up with $15 million or whatever it might be. But in Senator Kubley's amendment, those caps are not in place, and it would seem that on the face of it, if you had the same estimate of number of people, it would likely cost more. And so if you're saying that the estimate is the same, that as I said, that's not clear to me how that works. Can anybody clarify that, how the estimates could be the same?
Senator Hand, we have a couple of fiscal analysts here. Maybe you could
speak to.
Can I ask? I think we need to stay on the point. Senator Hand,
this is the same point,
and I want him to have an answer. Do you know what to talk about here for money?
Mr. Chairman, since this is a delete all amendment, we did not have an official fiscal note based on this language. But what I believe is the delete all amendment would be pretty close to what the governor's proposal is, which is about $15 million per year. Senator Kubley's amendment to that would expand the cost of it, and to what point, I don't exactly know right now without the new fiscal note. Or there's no comparison, at least with any governor's proposal, to compare it to.
Well, Mr. Mueller, it would be safe without the Kubley amendment. It's $15 million. That, am I tracking this right, or that's close to your estimate? Okay. So everybody understand that? Senator Hine, do you understand it?
And thank you for that clarification, Mr. Chairman, and thank the fiscal analyst for that help. I think that, to me, in order to really weigh whether the amendment that Senator Kubley is offering is the right one, we should have some idea of what the cost is, and I'm not clear that if the testimony is that it's $15 million, that doesn't seem right, and maybe there needs to be some more, maybe a fiscal note to the Kubley amendment we ought to consider before we adopt the amendment itself. And as long as I have one other question, I just want some clarification on this, not related to the cost, and maybe if Senator Erickson Ropes can answer that. Going back to page 4 of your bill, in line 4.13, the eligibility provisions, and I just want to make sure I understand that what we're saying is that that the definition of eligibility would include a person who was a Minnesota resident within 6 months of an initial enlistment or any reenlistment. So if I'm reading that correctly, a person could be a resident of a different state for most of their military service and do a reenlistment while stationed or, I guess, while living here for 6 months and then become eligible under Minnesota law. Is that, are we drawing that broadly?
Chair Vickerman, Senator Hand. The idea behind this is if you have someone who enlisted at any point from Minnesota, initially or reenlistment, goes and is living in another state, and has just moved back to Minnesota, they can immediately start using this without meeting Minnesota residency requirements. It is, if you will, an incentive for Minnesota residents at some point in their life to come back.
Got it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coring.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just express my good friend, Senator Kubley. I'm sure he's well-intentioned here, but I guess I'm just concerned about the cost, and I don't want to be, I don't want to seem cheap, Senator Murphy, but I'm just concerned about that, and I guess my first question would be to Senator Erickson Ropes. You've had a lot of groups, it seems, appears a lot of groups working on this together and coming to an agreement on this, and I'm wondering if this amendment changes that agreement. And I know that the commissioner is there, and I'm not trying to put him on the spot. He serves at the pleasure of the governor. Is the governor in agreement to this amendment? And because ultimately the governor has to sign this bill. So that would be my first question.
Mr. Chair, Senator Coring, thank you. The reason we did separate them out is because you're exactly right. We did not have an opportunity to go back and talk with all the stakeholders about adding this amendment. And my own understanding also in terms of the fiscal note and the cost is that it is not that much different between expanding the coverage or the benefits that are discussed in Senator Kubley's amendment and the bill that's on the table. And we do have a responsibility to the veterans of Minnesota. If it only costs us a couple $1 million extra a year, then let's put it out there and float it and try to do that. The other aspect of this that I understand is that if this committee chooses to do so, we would be forwarding this bill to finance and higher ed, and it's actually a finance question for higher ed as to how that would be funded. Our task at hand is to decide whether or not and at what level we want to fund it.
And then, Mr. Chairman, I would then I would just say that I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about the cost, and I'm concerned about this important bill moving forward. I do serve on higher education, and, you know, if we could I would ask respectfully that we just remove this amendment off the table and that we work it out with all parties involved. And I would be willing, more than willing, to offer it in higher education if we have everybody on board, the governor's office. And so that would be my offer, that we do not do anything on the Kubley Amendment. And I would be more than willing to help you when this moves on to higher education, Senator Pappas's committee. So that would be my offer to you.
Mr. Chair. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, just in response to the issue raised about it being too much money, I know that we do have to be fiscally responsible and balance the budget. But on the other hand, you know, I was able to use the GI Bill after my military experience, and I got considerably more annually than this bill is currently offering. You know, and that was 33 years ago. You know, if you had brought that that the amount that I received from the GI Bill forward, you know, and like I mentioned kind of inadvertently in this committee once before, you know, the only combat duty I saw was in the San Antonio Public Schools. So, you know, if that's if we can't, you know, make a little bit of an exception for those GIs who have seen combat duty in foreign countries and experienced a separation from their home and families, it just seems to me that we're following the federal government's option of getting by on the cheap. Let's make a bit of a sacrifice here for people that have made a sacrifice for us and pass this amendment. You know, it seems to me that if it was worth more to go to school 30-some years ago than it is now, then I don't know where in the world you're going to go to school here if you're going to find a place to go where you can get by for $2,000 a month. I say we ought to pass this amendment and send it on to higher ed.
Senator Skoy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Kubley, I don't know if the unlimited dollar amount at the top is right, but when I consider that these men and women that have been serving in overseas are going to get 60% of the Montgomery GI Bill, I know $1,000 isn't enough. So I think we need to put this amendment on. We live in one of the wealthiest states in the wealthiest country in the world. If we cannot find some resources to take care of these young men and women, we're not doing our job. So let's pass this amendment, and let's move on.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm getting mixed messages here. On the one hand, I'm hearing that Senator Kubley's amendment doesn't really change the cost of the bill from what, as we saw, the delete all amendment. On the other hand, I'm hearing from Senator Kubley and now from Senator Skoy that we need to do better and that Senator Kubley's amendment would do better. And all I'm asking for is some understanding of what that additional cost is. I think before we vote on something, we ought to have some idea what we're going to sign up for. And at one time, we're hearing that there really is no difference in cost, which leads me to think, well, then why change the bill? If we're going to put this much money on there and it's $15 million and we're just arguing about how to divide it up, well, that we can do that. But I get from what I'm hearing around the table is that we're talking about something that apparently is much more than $15 million, a substantial amount more. I just think it's fair to know what that is. Now, I'm a veteran, too, and I served in Vietnam, and I came back, and I did take advantage of some of the GI Bill. I can't remember exactly, Senator Kubley, but I don't think I got as much as this bill is offering from the federal GI program. And I certainly support veterans' benefits and education benefits. But I also know that as a veteran and veterans I know, we're not necessarily looking for a handout. They're looking for help. And there is some, I think, need to do that, and we need to do it responsibly. And I think that we oughtn't to just, for political purposes, try to see if we can outbid each other for how much money we're willing to put on the table. I don't think that is what we should be doing. I think we should be saying, what is this bill going to do? What does it cost? And does it make sense? And then let's do the right thing.
Mr. Chairman.
Let's see. I have
Mr. Chair, Mr. Waxland is ready to speak here to this issue. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Give me your name for the record and go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Benjamin Waxland. I think as we look at the $1,000 cap and we look at, for instance, University of Minnesota tuition for a full-time student, you're looking at least $3,700 per semester. $1,000 per semester is on average about a quarter of the tuition cost, not even mentioning fees or room and board. When we look at how much it's going to cost to pay for tuition for our veterans that are returning, we can look at what's happened in the two other states that have already passed this similar programs. As I mentioned before, in Illinois, if we do an extrapolation based on the number of vets they have versus what we have, we're looking at about $15 million per year in Minnesota. If we look at what happened in Wisconsin, and again, although they had funding problems initially, my understanding is that the higher aid institution has requested about $11 million in 2007-2008 and $13 million for 2008-2009, which I believe would be, you know, $24 million for the biennium. If I'm incorrect, Commissioner Dyrud, maybe you can speak to that. But is that correct, $24 million per the biennium, not per year?
Chair Vickerman, I am not sure of that. I thought it was higher. for the biennium, but I don't know that for a fact.
Well, we're going to still keep taking questions, so Senator Coring, you're next.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, God only knows that I support veterans, and I'm not trying to say that I don't want to support veterans. All I'm saying is what I've seen in the last 4 years is we always try to work it out with all parties concerned, like you have done. And now what's happening is you're drastically changing it, and the other parties might not agree with it. And so I'm making another offer, another plea, saying that if we can work it out, I would be more than happy to offer this in the next committee. And my question would be then is to the commissioner, what does the governor think of this? And you know, that would be my question. What does the governor think of this, Mr. Chairman, the commissioner?
Chair Vickerman, Senator Coring, I guess I'm a bit confused myself right now as to exactly what is and what isn't covered by the amendment. I know that in the original language, this $1,000 could be used for any school in the state, including a tech college or sure. A trade school or a private institution. I'm not sure. Maybe the amendment as Senator Kubley offers, does that change that? Does that make it only for public institutions?
No.
Okay. Then second of all, in Wisconsin, they are paying tuition only for the public schools, not for the trade or it's my understanding, or the private schools. And I guess the bigger question is Senator Coring, I don't know what the fiscal impact is. We haven't been involved in that. So I'm just, I don't know what to say.
And Mr. Chairman, then I would just say I can think we can see that the commissioner, at least I can read that you're a little concerned about this amendment. At least that's what I'm reading. And so I guess I would offer again to Senator Ropes and Senator Kubley to offer this amendment in higher education, if we can just work on this a little more, pass the amended, the delete all amendment, and the bill the way it is, and then work on this later on. I guess I would also ask, what does the chairman think of this?
I started out originally without this amendment, but everybody in this that belongs to this committee has a right to put amendment on the bill. My concern is I don't want to promise something to returning veterans and then all at once I got to tell them, sorry, we don't have enough money. I don't ever want that laid on me. So that's something we have to take into consideration when we're talking here. So I'm going to go to Senator Wergens. You are next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You actually just verbalized one of my biggest concerns is to make a promise that we can't keep in this committee, and that's pretty concerning. And when I'm just hearing now that this would be tuition at any eligible institution, that it could be private institutions, which I have no problem with private institutions by any means, but the problem being that there are some significant tuition differences, and I'm not sure we know what we're getting into when we're talking. The tuition at any college in Minnesota. I think I hope we're not making a promise that later on we have to back off from. I don't want to do that.
You want to answer to that? Senator Wergens.
Mr. Chairman, Madam Senator, the cost at the University of St. Thomas or McAllister or Augsburg is capped at approximately the same level as the cost of education at University of Minnesota in this bill.
In this bill.
Mr. Chair, not under the amendment, though. Well, not under Senator Kubley's amendment.
Madam Senator, it says the total cost at the eligible institution the total cost of attendance is defined in the bill. I get the right one here.
Under paragraph B.
As both undergraduate and graduate students as given the meaning in section 136A.121, subdivision 6, multiplied by a factor of 1.2, which is the state grant budget times 1.2. And the state grant budget has capped tuition and fees.
I'm going to ask my expert to help us a little bit here.
Mr. Chair, Senator Worgen, if you look at paragraph B under sub 6, benefit entitlement amount, it specifically caps the amount that you could use at a private institution as the rate at the Twin Cities campus of the University of Minnesota. So there would be no difference in cost.
Now I have Senator Murphy here next.
No, Mr. Chairman, I walked outside and calmed down, so I don't need to respond to Senator Hand's accusations of for political gain or something, whatever. I don't know.
I'm going to go to Senator Dill and then back to Senator Scoy. Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, one thing that's happened in the last couple of minutes, which makes me feel better about this, is that we're talking about the same tuition level at the colleges, whether they're private or public. So that helps control the cost to some extent. So I guess one thing I see with Senator Kubley's amendment is that for somebody that's going to two-year college, they have an opportunity to get more benefit than, well, it doesn't matter whether it's 2, 3, 4 years that they're going to college, but I can see that under the existing delete everything amendment without the Kubley amendment, if you're going to a two-year college, you're not going to be able to gain as much benefit as you could under the Kubley amendment, because there'd be more
flexibility,
more cash up even for the first or second year. So consider that a positive.
Chair Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I don't know what the members of the committee think of the process, but for me, the governor submits his budget. When the Senate doesn't agree with the governor, we do something different. We set our own priorities. And if this is a priority of yours, and it is mine, then I think we ought to support this. We'll pass our spending bills and send the request to finance, and they'll tell the tax committee how much money we need to raise. We aren't going to start at this point in the process of cutting back on what is a priority, in my opinion. I'd like to support this amendment. I think it's a good amendment. I think it should be a priority of this committee to, mm-hmm. You know, particularly being that these guardsmen have served 3.5 years out of 6 and aren't qualifying for the Montgomery GI Bill. We've got to fill that gap. That's the reason that $1,000 isn't enough. I don't know if it has to be 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever it is, but to me $1,000 isn't enough. We ought to make it a priority to fill that gap, and I'd hope to have support to move this amendment along to higher ed into finance, and we'll see where it goes.
Mr. Guyrud.
Chair Vickerman, I would like to just point out two things. First of all, the $1,000 is a last dollar in amount. So we're looking at someone who would qualify for the Pell Grant, for this, you know, the state grants, for the federal GI Bill. So we are looking at need. You know, if someone has true need, cannot afford to go to school, there is quite a large number of grants in the state. So this is looking at $1,000 after the last dollar in, but it is also looking at people. There is no 10-year limit of this. So we're looking at the 50-year-old veteran who starting from 1990, who has a career-ending accident or illness and has to go in for retraining, this bill would still be functioning, whereas, of course, the federal ends after 10 years. So the first point is that it is a last dollar in. If there is need, it is being met by Pell Grants, the state grants, and the GI Bill. So, and then the other point that I just want to emphasize is this is, as far as the Department of Veterans Affairs and I believe higher ed. I mean, we have not looked at this amendment at all, so we have no we have no idea whether it is apples to apples or it would be $15 million or I just want to emphasize that this is the first that we have seen that is right now. So I don't know if that's a factor for any of you or not.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Dyrowed, I appreciate that this is the last dollar. I think that's very wise utilization of the other resources that are available to these young men and women that are prospective students. But there will be situations when $1,000 isn't going to cover the costs. And I think that we ought to provide the opportunity for them, for these people to go to school, whether the last dollar is $1,000 or $1,500 or $1,800. And like I said, I don't know what the top dollar amount ought to be. I'm sure there's somebody who can figure that out in the higher ed committee, and I would guess that they'll have the opportunity to do that. But to leave it at $1,000 when it leaves this committee, I don't believe is an appropriate dollar amount either. So I think that I would hope that we would be supportive of Senator Kubley's efforts.
Senator Gimsey.
Well, I'd like to also, Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to thank Senator Erickson Ropes for bringing this forward. And I, too, am a veteran. I used all of my GI Bill benefits after getting out of the Army, and very much appreciated and that they were there for me at that time. And but getting to the numbers portion of this, you know, and trying to rectify it, looking at it, I see in the bill, before it's amended, a $10,000 total. And as I look at the amendment, we're talking about eight semesters at $3,700 a semester. That comes to $29,600 total. So there's a and based on 7,000 potential students using this bill, I come up with $207 million. So I have, you know, a little bit of trouble, too, rectifying the numbers on this based on this amendment.
Mr. Chair, to that point.
Mayor Kubley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Gimsey. I think, you know, when you take into consideration that these are, you know, kind of fill-in dollars for expenses that fall after the Pell Grants, after the state grant program, and after any federal benefit that they may gain under one of the GI bills that the federal government offers, you know, it does seem to me that, you know, that greatly diminishes the amount that will be used, even if there are 7,000 people. So I think it would be much less on both ends of Senator Erickson Rope's bill than we're anticipating. You know, I don't know. I guess, you know, for me, it, you know, it, when I look at the fact that I, you know, that I got more, you know, I don't know if it would be more than, you know, if I had been eligible for all of the different things that are listed here. I guess I was eligible for the GI Bill, and like you, maybe I just took my GI Bill benefit and lived on that, because you could live on it at that time. But we're not offering an amount that the person needs to live on. I mean, we're offering a fill-in amount up to a certain amount. And it just seems to me that, I don't know, I mean, I realize we have to be fiscally responsible, but on the other hand, you know, are we gonna sell these folks short just because we think the cost will be too high? You know, what's too high to somebody who's lost life or limb? You know, I don't know. I mean, to me, it's a reasonable proposal. I wish I'd known about it sooner so that we could have had a fiscal estimate, which is kind of what the fiscal notes kind of boil down to, I think. But, you know, I would hope that you could support this, Senator Coring, and you know, you can certainly bring up your reservations about it within the higher ed community, and maybe they'll choose to limit the number of dollars, and you'll have to restructure it there as well. But I don't see anything wrong with moving it forward as we see fit to do it, and let the next committee do their work.
Sir, did you have a do you want to say something? I see you.
I think that Senator, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I think that Mr. Kubley covered what I was going to say. Thank you.
I'm going to go down my list now and see if it's right. Senator Hand, did you have some new one to say?
Mr. Chairman, apparently we're not going to get the question answered, and I'm confused. I'm hearing conflicting testimony. On one hand, we say that this amendment that Senator Kubley is offering doesn't really change the amount of money that this bill would appropriate, in which case we're just talking about how we're going to allocate it, and that's certainly a legitimate debate. On the other hand, I'm getting the sense that Senator Kubley's amendment does have a significant additional cost. And I only think that if we as a budget committee are going to pass a bill that has a budget implication, we ought to have some idea what that dollar amount is. And if we don't know it, then I think we should be reluctant about passing something that we don't know what the cost is.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, to that point of about spending the money, I really could care less what it costs. And I don't get trying to be fiscally prudent. I mean, this fiscally prudent approach sent men and women into harm's way without the appropriate body armor, without the appropriate anti-tank weapons, munitions piercing armor. They were understaffed. A lot of our troops were undertrained, and it was only something that money could have rectified. Now, we screwed these people once. Let's not screw them again.
Senator Wiggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, does this committee have a target amount that it can spend on veterans and agricultural initiatives?
Nobody does. Nobody has targets.
Not yet. Well, members, think about the amendment, because this bill will travel from here to higher ed, and they are going to have to figure out where the money is going to come from and needs to come from. My concern is, as I stated earlier, and I'll say it again, I don't want to promise veterans something I can't deliver. Very concerned about that, and I don't know if we can do it. But Senator Coring?
Just kind of a clarification. So what are we kind of deciding in this committee right now, being that we're the policy and budget division? Is this money going to come out of this committee? Okay, so we're deciding if this is good policy.
Senator Coring, this money does not come out of this committee. This
okay.
money comes out of a higher ed.
Higher ed.
They've got
okay.
to go there and figure
so
out
what we're deciding, Mr. Chairman, so what we're deciding today is if this is good policy, and then the Higher Education Committee will decide whether or not we can pay for it. Correct? I see heads nodding. Okay.
Mr. Dyrud.
You know what? I'm fine. Then I'm fine with it.
Mr. Dyrud.
Chair Vickerman, I don't think it's been discussed yet today. If we're talking National Guard, they do have 100% tuition reimbursement in the state of Minnesota. So they have that for up to 2 years after they leave the Guard. Senator Scoy through Chair Vickerman, there is that side of it. So I'm not quite sure. The example you used, I don't know the details of that. Is that a reservist? Or it sounds like it could be a reserve. But I just wanted to mention that fact for what it's worth.
Senator Scoy?
Well, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Dyrud, that's good. That will just keep the cost of the bill down because they're already covered somewhere else. It doesn't mean that we're married to this $1,000 anywhere. It just means that the cost of the bill will be less when they get a fiscal note in the Higher Ed Committee.
Yep. Senator Wiggin.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm going to echo what Senator Coring said. If we're passing it out of here and higher education has to find room for it in their budget, if higher education agrees that it's good between the funding for the University of Minnesota and all of the other things with higher ed, they can figure out what this one costs and whether they want to include it.
And I'm ready to vote.
Any other Senator Robes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I appreciate all the questions and the discussion. We are following in that grand tradition of the federal GI Bill, which was very controversial in its day. So I think we're just continuing the work that our federal brothers and sisters did before us. And I would just remind people that the federal GI Bill was the biggest economic driver and builder of the middle class. And if we do even just a small piece of that here in Minnesota, it'll be good for the state of Minnesota, and it'll be good for veterans.
Well, Senator Robes, I could react and say the federal government keeps cranking out money, and we don't get to crank out money to fund everything.
Amen.
So
we can change
I'm torn
too.
between accepting this and not. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to vote for the veterans. And I'm going to vote for this amendment. And the higher education is going to have to figure out where the money comes from. So I'm not going to get into that argument. Senator Langsa?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll vote for it too, I guess. But, you know, as bonding chair, every one of the budget divisions tends to be advocates for whatever they're doing. And they send me a lot of recommendations. And, okay, I can spend $975 million. Whoops, they sent me $1.75 billion. You know, so, you know, I guess you could say that the Higher Education Committee has a responsibility of doing this. We have the policy. We're the advocates. I suppose we could send it on to them. But in a sense, we're making them the bad guys, I suppose, if they have to cut it down quite a bit. I don't mind being a bad guy. I have been for a long time, so... I just, you know, figure out what I can do within my target and do it. But I guess it does bother me a little that we don't have a little better handle on what this is going to cost. But we can send it on to them and see what they have to.
Well, Senator Langs have a little comfort. I believe a couple members here serve on that higher education. So
now I got to make the tough decision.
Well, no, but it does. I don't have any idea what Cooley's bill. It could go 15, it could be 30. I have no idea.
Well,
Senator Murphy?
Well, Mr. Chairman, my angst is this. You know, and Senator Ropes has done a good job of getting this bill pushed into the shape that it was in when she got it here. All right? Did a very good job. But, you know, and sometimes as veterans, you know, we don't ask for anything. You know, because we're pretty proud people. We think we can handle it ourselves. You know, that hill, I'll take that myself. Give me another clip. You know, I'll hit that hill. That's the attitude every veteran has. And Senator Gimsey, you have that. You can take care of it yourself. Don't worry about it. I got it. And, you know, sometimes we forget to ask for help. And sometimes we forget to ask for enough help. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are my age and older and younger that had experiences and have post-traumatic stress disorder and other things. They didn't ask. They asked for a little bit of help, but we didn't ask for enough help. And all I'm saying is these folks are coming back. Let's, you know, instead of making them come around with a tin cup and asking for help, let's just make sure that it's there. So that they don't have to go around with that little tin cup shaking it around. You know, we're all proud veterans. Senator Hand's a proud veteran. A lot of us around here. And, you know, sometimes we don't ask for enough. Sometimes we don't ask at all. So if we're going to ask, let's make it big. Do it once, do it big, get it done right.
Well, members, I think we're probably getting pretty close to voting, but I do want to tell you when this bill first started out, I won't tell you who it was, but I had one of the senators that's kind of my age, maybe a little older, said, you know, if you don't tighten this bill up, I can go back to college. I mean, so we have tightened it up.
I'm a lot younger than you.
Remember, it's not here. It's not you, Senator. So I guess what I'm saying, she did tighten it up from here, so 400 and some thousand veterans couldn't qualify. We get it narrowed down to at least the last ones. And that made the bill a lot better than it was. And so, as I said the other day, this is probably one of the most friendly committees that I've had the pleasure of chairing that has veterans in their concern. And I know we have to also worry about the funds. But, you know, I farm, if I worried about every dime I had, I wouldn't own any property. So you just have to sometime take a bold step forward, and this will go to another finance committee. It'll go from there maybe to someplace else before we're done. And so I think we're ready to vote. Senator Kubley, you wanted to renew your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll renew the motion that the A4 amendment be amended, or the amendment to the amendment to Senate File 408 be recommended to pass.
Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
So adopted. Senator Robes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move this amendment 408 be passed and forwarded to the Finance Committee.
Senator Robes, I think the motion should be you move to delete all A-2 as amended.
Am I? Senate File 408 as amended.
Senate File 408.
Senate File 408 as amended.
Referred
yeah.
to
where's it going? To Finance with a recommendation to be referred to higher ed.
Yeah, with a recommendation that we go to higher ed and see how that goes from there.
Okay.
Everybody understand the motion?
Yep.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So adopted. Members, I believe we are adjourned.
We did, really?
Well.